Good evening, this is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. Today is March 11th and we are on a new moon in Pisces, a Pisces new moon and a Pisces full moon. And that's the day I was born a few years ago, on a Pisces new moon and a Pisces full moon. Tonight we have as our guest Mark Dodich, one of the greatest astrologers in the country, especially with the two things that he does. One is relocation astrology and the other one is the astrology of your soul, which is something that really touches my heart. He can give you some very deep answers to your spiritual questions. And he's been on the show many, many, many times. He's from Portland, Oregon, and of course I come out of New York. But Mark, it's a pleasure to have you. Good evening.
Good evening, and happy new moon to you.
Oh, thank you. It's a birthday new moon for us Pisces.
Solar return, we call that, as you know. And, you know, for people who are having their birthday this time of year, there are quite a few planets in Pisces right now, way more than normal. And I don't know how you're experiencing it, but I've seen some people putting in some serious nap time, you know, because it rules the dream world. I've seen other people running around dazed and confused in a Pisces fog. And I've seen other people really working on their vision of what they want to create in this new year.
So. I'm in the fog and working on the vision, Mark, so that puts me in a lot of trouble.
People usually get the whole range.
And what do you think is the most important thing astrologically right now? Those planets in Pisces would be called a stellium. Would it not be called that?
Stelliums are a $50 word for a whole bunch of stuff all bunched up together. And I think the one thing that's really significant about this spring is that, see, normally the planets are a little more spread out across the zodiac than they are right now. So right now we've got a whole bunch of planets in Pisces. In fact, later on tonight, the planet Mars, which rules male ambition warrior, is going to move into the sign Aries for the next 6 weeks or so. And then a lot of planets are going to start following in after spring equinox. And Aries is, you know, get off your backside and get moving and hurry up and I need it yesterday kind of stuff,
which would be great. Fiery.
For anyone who needs to start new projects or things like that, it's wonderful. Go ahead.
My definition of Aries is male creative force, which can be for either a male or a female. It's the force of it. So it's not that it's a male, but it is a masculine sign, is it not?
Absolutely, it's the masculine, and the nice interpretation which you just gave is it's that ability to get up and get in movement and have the courage to be self-reliant and pioneer new paths. They just have to be careful on the negative side of, shall we say, being headstrong or starting a lot of projects and leaving them half finished.
Or the bull in the china shop.
Can because mostly because they're impatient.
And they don't think, right? They don't think it through.
Right. And this spring, there's going to be some incredibly impatient aspects going on in the charts later on this month. So, you know, on one level, people could open up to great new inventions and innovative new ways to do things. On another level, we could see some accidents and some revolutions and some earthquakes.
And some truth coming out with Neptune and Pisces. When Neptune's in its own sign, it brings out the truth.
It does, and sometimes truth just has a way of sneaking up on you. Whereas
that's
Aries,
that Scorpio snake.
see, that's the difference. Pisces kind of sneaks up on you, like out here in Oregon, we call it the fog coming in slowly. Whereas Aries is in your face. Here it comes right now, ready or not.
Yeah, that's called the shove it down your throat energy.
Right, you
take
are.
Take it or leave it.
Right, you are. So the tone is definitely going to change in the next 10 days or so.
And I think that that's good because we always need change. We're having a season change as well. We're going in from the long, sleepy winter. All the animals have been hibernating into them all coming out and scurrying around. So we're going to be bumping into them as well. But it is good to know about Mars, because Mars can make you be more cautious on the road in Aries, and Mars can make you be more cautious with what you say and how you say it, how you present things. It is fabulous for the leader, the new beginnings, and for doing something on your own. Aries doesn't like to share. Aries likes to be out there. They say the salesmen are the Aries, and the Pisces and the Scorpios are the ones behind the desk doing the thinking. Is that right, Mark?
Yeah, and for people who, like, say, want to start their own business, or they want to get something motivated that's, as you say, just theirs, we've got some great opportunities coming up for the next few weeks to help that.
Mm-hmm. So, but it's also a time to take care of your body. You know, Aries is it could be incubation. It also can be wonderful, wonderful new medical discoveries. That's always exciting. When you look at it as for the physical, Mark, what else do you see besides possible new medical discoveries?
Well, you know, Aries has a lot to do with blood circulation in the head. I wouldn't be surprised to see new things coming out for example, people vision, their ability to see, or glasses, or, you know, eye discoveries, or things like this summer when we have Jupiter move into the sign Cancer, which rules the disease Cancer, perhaps some discoveries in brain cancer as an example.
Mm-hmm. Or the pancreatic cancer, which is so deadly.
Yeah, so, or of course, we'll talk about this summer, but when Jupiter moves into Cancer, Cancer rules breasts and stomach, and so those parts are ripe for some new inventions, or, you know, new discoveries.
Oh, I had my yearly mammogram, which I always call the push and squish, and as I was having this mammogram, which is always so uncomfortable for us women, I saw the technician, and I saw vision. I saw a band around her head that was about 3 inches wide of metal. And in the middle of it was this, it looked like a headlight that I was going to go down in a cave and dig for coal. But it wasn't. I knew that it was a new instrument that's coming that's going to make this exam much easier and less painful. And I said, you know, you're not going to have these big machines much longer. They're going to get little like the iPhone.
That would certainly fit this energy that's coming up for the next year, starting later this summer.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
So what else is going on? I did want to talk about the one of the main subjects in Mountain Astrologer this month was the 0 degrees and the 29 degrees in somebody's chart. Now, my husband's rising sign is 0 degrees Gemini, and my son, my firstborn, was born with his Saturn at 29 degrees Capricorn. Now, those are heavy messages, are they not?
Absolutely. And as an example, the people who read tarot cards mm-hmm. would have a card like the Fool, which is the beginning and the end. Mm-hmm. And so a zero or the last degree, there's 30 degrees in a sign. So the first or the last degree of a sign represents beginnings and endings. Mm-hmm. And so when you see somebody that has something going on in their chart that is in the beginning, and particularly when they have a lot of planets in the early degrees of the sign. So, like, if they looked at their chart, say 0 to 10 degrees of any of the planets, mm-hmm. that's usually I brought a new project or new beginnings into this world. And when it's towards the end, you know, getting close to 28 to 30 degrees, that is I've come in to complete something in this life.
That's very interesting because Don is a writer, and he's passionate about books. We have over 8,000 books in the house that are all first editions. And he was on CBS News for years. And yet I feel, because of his writing techniques, that he's a new soul doing writing, that that's going to be his project for the next whatever lifetimes. My son, to me, Capricorn means separation from the father at an early age and difficulty with authority throughout the life, and that's exactly what happened to my son. But it's faded, and that's the difference. That's what I'm trying to say. It means that this has to be. A faded choice is something that will happen because the soul chose it before the lifetime, whereas an experience because of the energies is something completely different.
There are certainly places in the chart that seem more faded, that there's like, I call it a required course, that in this life you have to do it. And then, of course, there's other parts of the chart where maybe you have more what I call wiggle room or free will to do what you need to do. And as, you know, astrologers always like to tell our listeners, you have to look at the whole chart. Because if a person has, say with your husband's case, he has some very early degree signs which would indicate new projects or things mm-hmm. he needs to bring into the world. But if a person's born towards the end of a moon cycle, you know, when the mm-hmm. moon's getting darker, quite often that's a finishing. And so it can get a little more complicated than, you know, I know we try to make it real simple here for people.
Yeah, but I'm glad you said that, because I have a question for you. Yeah. And I noticed this the other day. You know, I have an identical twin.
Yes.
And we were born with our sun at 25 degrees Aries. But I also have older identical twin sisters, and their moon is at 25 degrees Virgo. So what do you get with that? What kind of thing are we finishing up?
Well, number one, the term we would use is called in conjunction or quincunx. It basically means 150-degree relationship if you got out your protractor. Mm. And that's kind of like what I call being caught between a rock and a hard place.
That's an ouch.
Or, it's not a bad thing. It's an uncomfortable thing.
It was very
I like to describe it like you're inside a bottle of champagne and somebody's shaking on it with their thumb on the top. And there's this pressure and this tension that's looking for an outlet, but it has trouble finding it. Mm-hmm. And so when you have people that are in that 150 degree relationship, like Aries and Virgo would be, or Aries and Scorpio
is Pisces
also.
And Virgo.
Oh, well, of course, that's an opposition. I'm sorry. I thought I heard you say Aries.
But I love the champagne idea.
Well, that's another story. We'll do that one another day. But the opposition is kind of think of a full moon. You get great perspective. You get pulled apart to look at each other. And, you know, in the Hermetic philosophy, like in the book they call the Kabbalah, they say that things are opposite or actually the same, just different degrees.
Or different ways of expression.
Right. And just think of light and dark. When does it become light and when does it become dark? Well, everybody has a different idea of what that would be. And so in metaphysics, you know, Virgo is the analytical, logical, mental kind of a sign. And Pisces, more the psychic, receptive, intuitive. And the story is that the Virgos need to be a little more Pisces and the Pisces need to be a little more Virgo.
Yes, that's true. I find that that's true because my husband has a 25 degree sun in Virgo as well. So, and that's, you can be uncomfortable or you say things, everything is opposite. If I want a chair in a corner, he wants a chair in the center of the room.
And, you know, for some couples that can really work as long as everybody stakes out their territory.
That's true.
You know?
That's true.
Then you don't mess in each other's territory, and it can actually give people good perspective and good balance, but it can also be annoying because you're always pulling at each other in opposite signs.
Yeah, you always want the opposite things, but he could do well with a little bit more meditation, and I could do well with a little bit more organization. But anyway, let's get back to what's going on. I had noticed that there's a Taurus stellium this spring, is that how you say it? And the people that were born, the beginning of the baby boomers were born at the time when Taurus had Saturn and Uranus in its sign together, almost conjunct.
Yep. So as we get closer to, let's say, after tax day, after April 15th, and of course we're going to have that lunar eclipse coming up on April 25th, many of these planets are going to be moving into Taurus. So if you get the feel, Pisces is, I'm revisioning things, which is where we're at right now. And then after spring equinox, after the 20th, we're going to move into Aries. Hurry up, I need to get some projects moving. And then all of these planets are going to go into Taurus, which says, I must bring my values to play and I must roll up my sleeves and I must be in it for the long term to get things done. Hmm. And so the people who were doing the Aries project, you know, the shiny baubles that, mm-hmm. that if they run out of gas or enthusiasm, they won't continue them. But the people who says these projects that I'm putting my energy into are worth my expenditure of effort over a long term, this can bring great rewards.
And that can be really focusing and kind of separating from other responsibilities to focus and get this one done.
Yeah. And remember, Taurus rules are a value system. I know as astrologers, we always talk about it as your money or your property or your possessions or your massages or your chocolate fix. You know, they like that sensual pleasure stuff. But it's also about your values. Every dollar you spend is a vote on what you believe in. The time that you spend. Yeah, it rules your value system. And so we're all going to be going through this phase that says, just think of the spring garage sales. People are going through their stuff and saying, you know what, I don't value this thing anymore. I'm going to put it out and sell it and get some money so that I can go buy something else that I value.
Interesting, interesting. We were talking about the moon a little while ago, and I have a friend of mine, William Vitalis, and he's going to be telling us about the moonlight on my window. Let's give a listen to that. It's a very Pisces song on the new moon. Well, there he goes. I think he went to the moon. And it wasn't Alice. That was beautiful, wasn't it, Mark?
It was indeed.
Very relaxing. That's a very Pisces song. No wonder I love it. I want to get back to the March 27th full moon because I've been reading a lot about it and perhaps sensing it. It's in Libra, so that means it opposes Aries. And it's going to make a T-square, and I want to know more about this T-square in Pluto and Uranus. Can you explain that to us? I know we have to be cautious that week.
Well, number one, if you would just imagine a T-square, just if you were to draw in the, you know, like in the old coloring books, you'd draw between mm-hmm. the dots and make a pattern. If you were to do that in the sky, it would look like a capital letter T. And so on one side of the zodiac, you're going to have the moon in Libra, which says, I want balance, I want relationship, I want sharing, I want beauty, I want harmony. Over on the other side of the zodiac, you've got Aries, and Aries says, I want independence, I want to pioneer new path. And that particular full moon on the 27th of March is also aligned with the planet Uranus, and Uranus mm-hmm. is blow everything up and start all over. And then the base of the T is the planet Pluto in Capricorn. And Capricorn is a conservative sign. And I think one way we'll see this will be the ongoing battles we've had in Congress versus the innovative new way versus old school way versus let's change it all now versus slow but sure change and Or the way things are going in places like Syria or North Korea at this point in time. So, but for people as an individual, this is a chance to rebalance. How can I have my innovation, my freedom, my spare time, and yet still be responsible and pay my bills and be practical?
That's where I am. As a matter of fact, I am closing up an organization that I formed, and I formed it 5 years ago when Saturn was in Libra, and I'm going to start something new. I'm going to start something called Streaming Energy, and it's going to be spiritual lectures, but I was worried about it, and when I looked at this, I said, well, my goodness, I'm blowing up everything to bring in something new, and that's exactly how I feel.
Well, and it is new paradigms. I mean, if you're of the philosophy that we've started a new Mayan calendar here, that's a new paradigm. I've been talking to people that this year has a very strong emphasis in the water element, which is, you know, Scorpio, Pisces, and Cancer. And I don't care what sign a person is, everybody has Cancer, Pisces, Scorpio somewhere in their chart.
And well, they have it in a house. It may not be activated, but they have it in a, they have the house of those signs.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter because it's everybody's going to be activated in the water element as we get into this summer, whether they like it or not.
It's called flooding.
And flooding would be one interpretation of it. Another would be release on deep emotional levels, which would be the Scorpio piece. And then the Cancer piece, which won't come in till later in June, is going to be, what are the things in my life that are nurturing me, and what are the things that I'm done with? Just like with the Bucks County, you said it's served its purpose, it's time to release.
And the condo that I bought, here's one for you. I bought the condo 25 years ago.
Wow.
And it's up near New York. You've been there, so you know the condo. And I moved to Pennsylvania 19 years ago when this era that's finishing up with this eclipse, and the eclipse means the ending of it, the completion of it. So I'm selling the condo and probably making the full decision to stay here in Pennsylvania after testing it out for 19 years. Well, I thought that was funny.
You know, in astrology, anytime you hear somebody say 18 and a half for 19 years, that's a soul destiny cycle. That's those horseshoe-looking symbols in a person's chart. Take 18 years, 18 and a half to 19 years to make a full circle.
Talk more about that, soul destiny.
Sure.
I like that. Explain that to us.
So we all have, shall we say, the path we came in on and what we're going to do with it, what the Hindus might call your karma and your dharma. Intrinsically linked, where you're coming from and who you are and all that you've brought into this life, good, bad, indifferent, all come in and say, what do we need to step up into? Now, for everybody on the planet right now, these spiritual destiny points are traveling through Scorpio and Taurus, which is why the eclipses are in Scorpio and Taurus right now. They're all tied together without getting all technical on you. But the point is we're being called to go to a deeper level. And in the esoteric astrology, we have what's called fourth ray, which is a universal frequency that we use the keywords harmony through conflict. So the universe comes along and it throws a monkey wrench into your life. It knocks you off balance, off center. You have to find your way back to center. And when you find your way back to center, you've been stripped of your illusions and say, here's what's real. Here's what I value. Here's what I'm going to put my energy into so that I'm not getting reactive soap opera land, shall we call it, being drawn into people's drama, let's call it.
And so many people had that monkey wrench. The monkey wrench really came in 2010 and 2011. And every single time somebody tells me of this change or this upset, they always say, well, this started in 2010, and then on and on and on it goes. And I'm finding that that's the pattern. Is that the astrological pattern, Mark?
Yeah, that would definitely fit that. And these nodes spend about a year and a half in each sign. So you get about a year and a half to work with these energies. And as I say, in this case, we're looking at what we value. And in your case, you know, you said 19 years in Pennsylvania. Well, what is the next 18 and a half to 19 years to be about for you?
I don't know.
Well, but we do know you're deciding to let go of a property up in New Jersey.
Yes, and I've also decided that I want to do more of my natural healing, and I've been invited to India and Japan to begin to work that, and it is a beginning.
Off with mother, path. Yes.
Yes.
Well, and so the story is we don't always know what it is we want or where we're going, but usually we've got a pretty good idea of what we're done with, mm-hmm. what we don't want anymore. And I actually feel like for those who are looking to sell property, that as Jupiter, the expansive god of blessings, moves into Cancer on mm-hmm. June 26th, which we'll talk about next time, Cancer rules residential real estate.
Right.
And that's certainly going to be a year that's much more favorable for the real estate market than it has been in the past.
I was feeling that we were going to have a good 18 months as that – actually, I thought it would start in January, and I've been talking to realtors that have had nothing moving, that it's really starting to move now. And that was because of, one, the Pisces, and two, going into Cancer. But I am concerned about the water because I do see very heavy rain during the summer months. I also see heat, 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 and I see tsunamis and hurricanes and the Mississippi and Missouri rivers coming together. I keep seeing them coming together. That's very interesting. Like the map that was drawn years ago by the St. Germain people.
It was Scallion too. Michael Scallion had one. Well, the key is whenever an element is emphasized, in this case the water element, you get both extremes. You either get too much water or you don't get enough. So we'll mm-hmm. see places that have monsoons having monsoons like crazy, and we'll have places like Texas that last year basically dried up.
And New Mexico, Santa Fe. Yeah. I love Santa Fe, and I'd love to live there, but there's no water.
Big issue, yeah. And so we'll start to see some more too much or not enough kind of issues.
And, of course, the Jersey Shore is having, my goodness, so much devastation. It's really changing. And that's faded. That's been predicted for a long, long time. Now, this moon, I'm noticing, is that 27 degrees Libra that it's going to be? What's the degree of the moon?
No, it's the 27th. The moon is at 7 degrees of Libra.
So it's the beginning. Libra. It's early. So
it's
it would start something. And how long does that phase last that the eclipse brings in?
Now, this one's the full moon on the 27th, so really just a couple of weeks until the new moon on April 10th. And then, of course, you're right, though, we are moving into eclipse season, and the first of the three eclipses is going to be on April 25th. But I use 3 months range before and after an eclipse, so we're already moving into this, shall we say, go to the depths of your being place.
And we're having three in a row.
Yep. For quite a few years now, we've just had two at a time. So this is just an interesting three that we're going to have between April 25th, another solar eclipse on May 9th, and then the third one will be another lunar eclipse on the 24th of May.
And the first one is in... What?
The first one is a lunar eclipse, which means it's a full moon. So that's going to be in Scorpio and Taurus.
Uh-huh.
And obviously that fits with the what do I need to release?
And all of the planets are coming into Taurus, and we're going to have that eclipse in Taurus at the very beginning of those planets moving into it.
Yeah, so everyone can expect to have some emotions coming to the surface the further we get into April.
Mm-hmm.
And emotions can be good or emotions can run rampant.
Right, depending on how you act on them.
And so I would suggest it would be a wonderful time for people to do deep-level emotional healing as a way to, I always call it, you go to the bottom of the swamp to clean the drain at the bottom, and then you rise up like the phoenix out of the ashes.
But so, don't forget, you have to hold your breath while you're cleaning the drain.
Well, it is that, but people just tend to always see the negative. Oh, gosh, I'm going to get dragged through the swamp again. I don't want that. But the truth is, hey, there's a purpose here. We're being called to open up to fresh and get things flowing again.
And so you're clearing away the deadwood. That's how I call it.
And it's a good thing. And I don't know what you've experienced, but I've had clients come in and go, "Oh, Mark, I've worked on that old family issue. I'm done with that. I've healed that." And then it comes up again.
Oh,
and
boy.
Yeah, right. You weren't done. I think
I've got all of them going to be hitting me.
Well,
ex-husband, sons, sisters. Yep. Oh, my goodness. And then we go into the next eclipse on the 9th of May, and that would be a new moon eclipse.
The May 9th would be a new moon eclipse at 20 degrees of Taurus. And the interesting thing about that one is it's the bookend opposite of the solar eclipse we had back in November of 2012, which is the, all the Newtown, Connecticut shootings and General Petraeus got caught, fooling around. And in other words, Scorpio
got diagnosed with cancer on Thanksgiving. And now you're talking about the May eclipse.
So we're at the other side of the bookend.
Yes.
And the beauty is, let's just, I don't want to get political, but what I'll say is you could look at the issues of how we're going to deal with guns and shootings like we had in the school.
And the current administration.
And the current administration and the NRA and all the players that are involved.
Yes.
This is the other side to say, what did we decide in the last 6 months?
Is it good for us?
Yeah, we talked about it. We've argued it. Everybody shared their opinions. Now we're at the other side that says, well, what choices are we going to make?
Well, that's good. Maybe we can find a pathway that will open up to something more positive than making us stand online in airports and lose our money, Maybe it'll be something better. We have to come together.
Well, and the question is what we call the fixed signs. So fixed signs are Taurus, Scorpio, Leo, and Aquarius. Mm-hmm. And they're the ones who can pardon my French, hold on till hell freezes over.
Yeah.
They have great endurance and they're the ones that say, I'm a survivor. Okay. But the problem is they can also get hard headed and do my way or the highway kind of philosophy, which is something we've seen going on in politics, not just in our Congress, but in Syria and many other places.
Sure. All over the world.
And so it's going to be important for
people.
And
in Korea.
Yep. In Korea. So we need to be careful of getting hard-headed in my way or the highway philosophy.
Stubborn. Or even lazy, or even glossing it over.
People, these signs can get in their rut, and they'll say things like, better the rut that I know than the one I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
The
devil that I know. And the third eclipse is at the end of May, May 20th. We had one last year on May 20th, didn't we?
This one's actually going to be on the 24th.
24th.
And that one's actually going to be more fun. It's going to be in Sagittarius and Gemini. So I would suggest sneak off for a little Memorial Day trip or, Gemini likes to explore and is curious and Sagittarius likes an adventure. So I would say towards the end of May, everybody would like to give themselves what I'd call a short, quick adventure.
Well, maybe it means that the Jersey Shore will complete their repairs and open on time, and that I pray for, because that was devastating, Mark.
Could very well be. The interesting thing is, eclipses stay in the same polarity of signs for about a year and a half, and then they go away for about 9 years. And this is the last of the Gemini-Sagittarius eclipses where we've been forced to open our mind and explore different possibilities. So that means you've explored everything. Now it's time to choose. Fish or cut bait?
Patty is online too, and she wants to ask you a question.
Sure.
Are you open to talking to Patty? Okay, Patty, here's Mark Doty.
Eclipses stay in the same polarity of signs for about a year and a half, and then they go away for about 9 years. And this is the last of the Gemini-Sagittarius.
Hello, Patty. Okay. Well, what we have to do now? We have to listen to our bread and butter, and then we'll come back and we'll talk more. So let's go on into the commercials. Thank you.
Wisdom Magazine is one of the East Coast's largest free publications, with more than 1,000 distributed bimonthly in three regional areas, New England, New York City and New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Wisdom is dedicated to opening the people's hearts and minds to the philosophy, products, and services of the new millennium, bringing love, peace, and positive information into the community. Elizabeth writes the astrology column for Wisdom, as well as a weekly astrology update for the Wisdom Magazine website. Visit us at wisdom-magazine.com to view our web edition. The X-Zone is a late-night internationally syndicated radio, television, satellite, and internet talk show, which deals with a variety of subjects, but usually ones that relate to the world of the paranormal, metaphysics, and the science of parapsychology. It was created by the Canadian broadcaster Rob McConnell and first aired in 1993. The X-Zone airs 5 nights a week, Monday through Friday, from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern Time, and is distributed internationally by the X-Zone Broadcast Network. It is hosted by the show's creator and executive producer, Rob McConnell. The X-Zone radio show is located in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. The X-Zone radio and TV show is the only Canadian radio show that is syndicated to a truly international listening and viewing audience via conventional professional broadcasting and satellite means, not only the Internet. The X-Zone is syndicated on an international basis outside of Canada and has more than 400,000 listeners as an international audience. Listen for Elizabeth Joyce and Rob McConnell on the X-Zone at www.xzoneradiotv.com. Opening your spiritual chakras is the next stage of your physical body's shifting reality. Your body is now merging with your etheric or universal body and the new spiritual chakra centers. You will begin to experience a realm of many vibrant prismatic colors and dancing energy patterns will emerge. By opening your spiritual chakras and merging with your universal body, you will come together in marvelous ways, and new spiritual powers will begin to emerge into your body system. The chakras are your major energy centers, and they allow you to transform your physical body and integrate with its spiritual body to function properly in the new fifth dimension energies. To accomplish these complex intertwining procedures, the spiritual hierarchy intends to bring forth 4 additional chakras as soon as possible: the 8th, the 8.5, the 9th, and the 10th. These 4 new chakra centers will permit you to manage the immensity of multidimensional information inherent to your new physical body. The physical body will be walking in sync with the universal body. In addition, the 4 spiritual chakras will transform the other 7, thereby allowing them to take on many new responsibilities. Elizabeth Joyce has created a new CD to help you open your spiritual chakras. This is very valuable and is one of the primary ways needed for you to begin the ascension process and work well in the fifth dimension energies that are now coming onto the planet. In addition to the 4 spiritual chakras and the 7 regular physical chakras, there is an extra chakra, the foot chakra, or the zero chakra. This is your earth grounding center, and it is located at the balls of your feet. Above the crown chakra are 4 more numbers, 8, 10, 11, and 12. The main purpose of these extended chakras, which has always been a part of the energetic field, including our aura, is to enable the individual to tune into his or her inner God self, the divine will, and even the galactic community that surrounds and supports the earth in its evolution. This is a CD that you will want to have and work with on a daily basis between now and December 21st, 2012. It is available here at bbsradio.com under the Let's Find Out page, as well as Elizabeth Joyce's personal website, www.new-visions.com. Be sure to get the CD, Opening Your Spiritual Chakras, with music by Richard Schulman, so that you can advance yourself and find security in these new, wonderful fifth dimension energies. Again, that's www.new-visions.com or bbsradio.com under Let's Find Out. You're listening to Let's Find Out on bbsradio.com, Station 1. If internet radio has a name, it's BBS Radio, the number one live internet radio talk show on the planet. Let's Find Out and our honored guests come to us every other Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. If you would like to call in and ask a question, please dial 888-627-6008 in the U.S. and Canada. Again, that's 888-627-6008. Now, if you're just tuning in and would like to hear this show in its entirety, a podcast will be available tomorrow, and you can download it at the archive link at bbsradio.com. Remember, if it's not mainstream, it's BBS Radio. So now, let's find out with our host, Elizabeth Joyce. Is it a headache or someone wishing you ill? Is a sudden change in behavior due to drugs or the influence of evil? Do you find it hard to pray, to reach out to God? Psychic attack is more common than one might think and is a malady that can be overcome by specific metaphysical and spiritual treatment. Elizabeth Joyce clearly explains what the symptoms of psychic attack are, where it comes from, how you can overcome the attack, and what simple exercises and meditations you can do to protect yourself from future attacks. She compares psychic attacks from days gone by with their modern counterparts and illustrates with anecdotes and examples. Is there any such thing as a ghost, and can they harm you? Can other people's negative and destructive thoughts harm you? If so, you can take steps to protect yourself from these energies. Although you would seek and find help with any physical emergency, this book, Psychic Attack, Are You a Victim? By Elizabeth Joyce, can be helpful by your learning good spiritual practices for clearing away negative energies and keeping up with the housework of the soul. Then, if something overthrows you, there are some good strategies at hand so you can begin to remove them. Learn what to do as well as what not to do. Elizabeth Joyce is an expert on ghost busting, and she has been to court on many occasions helping people get their money back from the gypsies and so-called psychic stealers. This is a book that you'll want to pick up and keep in your library because it's a how-to book as well as an informative book. Psychic Attack, Are You a Victim? By Elizabeth Joyce is available at Amazon.com as well as the website www.new-visions.com. Be sure to pick up Psychic Attack. You will want to hear Elizabeth's personal story as well as get this great information that could be helpful to you and your family in the future. Psychic Attack, Are You a Victim? By Elizabeth Joyce.
Count every star in the midnight sky. Count every rose, every firefly. For that's how many times I miss you. Heaven knows I miss you. Count every leaf on a willow tree. Count every wave on a stormy sea. Count every star and darling, when you do, you know the times I cry for you.
This is Elizabeth Joyce, and we're with Let's Find Out. That was Count Every Star in the Moonlight Sky, and we have our astrologer tonight, Mark Dodich, who is our honored guest. And we've been talking about what's coming up with the three eclipses this spring. But one thing we haven't touched on, Mark, that I'd like to talk a little bit about is the spring equinox. Tell us about what's coming between March 21st and June 21st. What does the spring equinox do?
Number one, if people would like to see a picture of it, I actually have a picture of it in the in my newsletter, my spring newsletter that just came out, which they can download at www.astromark.us. And what they're going to see is a pattern that looks like a kite shape, you know, the old diamond shapes kites. Mm-hmm. And a kite is a bunch of talons all tied together by a spine to keep you from getting lazy. So in other words, there's a lot of help available for the next quarter, starting with, you know, obviously with spring equinox until summer solstice. And the help part is in the water sign. So we're right back to our conversation on water that we had earlier, which is I must look at what are the things in my life that are nurturing me. What is it that's not nurturing me? I must be releasing. I don't need it anymore.
And that can bring tears and that can bring water.
Absolutely. And the beauty is, though, is, you know, that weight you feel on your shoulders when you're carrying something that doesn't belong to you?
Yes.
Well, that can be a refreshing feeling, like, oh, I'm releasing that which I don't need anymore.
Right.
You know, and there's a good and a bad, because people, as a rule, don't like to let go. And yet, here is this opportunity that says, gee, if I want to step into whatever this next thing is for me, this next vision, this all this Aries energy that's ready to go to the new place, I can't be dragging old stuff into new places. And that's really, you know, in a nutshell, what spring equinox is about for the next 3 months.
And the moon is the moon in Aries as well?
Actually, the moon is in the sign Cancer at equinox, which, you know, brings in that emotional tone. And it is on the opposite sky to the sky of Pluto. So a nice mm-hmm. language for that would be I learn and get to step up into my feminine power. And the challenging part is I have to let go of anything that I do that smacks of powerless games.
And what I would call that is the opening of a heart. Maybe I've had my heart closed to a certain idea. Maybe I don't like my boss, but then my boss comes and says, my goodness, we think a lot of you, we want you to what? And then you open the heart. So something could help people open the heart.
Absolutely. And and to do that, you need to be willing to be vulnerable and take a risk on yourself. And yet, Moon in Cancer is a very strong placement, but it doesn't really like, think of the hard Cancer crab shell. They show a tough outer front because they don't want people to know they're a mushball on the inside.
That's true. That is
true. And so they have to be willing to use good, healthy discernment over who are the good people to let in and then to help them in. And of course, keep the schmucks out, of course.
Well, I also think that it can be choosing your friends with better discernment.
Absolutely. And there's a certain element of I must take an emotional risk on myself for the next few months.
But you've learned a little bit between 2010 and now about people, and you've learned a little bit about who are the takers and who are the givers and who are the more positive for you. And you can say, I'm going to be very cautious in who I let in. And of course, you know, once Cancer lets you in, then it's fabulous. Yeah.
And it's just important to have the courage to go into, let's call it a less than comfortable zone, to open up to these new possibilities.
And you have to wait. Everything is slow. Everything takes time, especially money. To get a monetary return, if you're starting something new, can take 6 months, but we want it yesterday. Isn't that true?
It's true. And just like we were talking at the beginning that there's going to be the stellium in Taurus, well, Taurus says, we'll reward you, but you're going to have to pay your dues first. It's not like credit cards where you get the thing first and pay later. With Taurus, you do your work, then you get your payday.
That's true. And Scorpio is a little bit more so.
Oh, you know, the beauty, people joke about Scorpios, but I will tell you, Scorpios are really good at doing the things that they're really interested and focused on.
Absolutely.
It just, you can't get them to do what they don't want to do for nobody's business, you know. But the things they want to do.
My husband's moon is in Scorpio. My father's moon was in Scorpio. So they, when you have a Scorpio and Leo in your chart, you are Mr. Success. You're usually president of a company. They are very dedicated and good at what they do.
As long as they have a good, healthy sense of self-esteem and they don't get caught up in what we'll call power play games.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I would agree with that.
But they're famous for that, too.
Well, there is that, yes.
So you think that the spring equinox is going to bring water. And what I'm thinking is this. We have the spring equinox moon in Cancer, and then we have Cancer, Jupiter moving into Cancer. So do they affect, and what is the... What is this summer solstice moon in? Maybe they're all water.
Number one is I would say that the spring energies that have a lot of water in it are giving us a sneak preview of what's going to come, you know, in the summer. And, of course, the moon in the summer solstice, which we'll talk about more later, mm-hmm. is going to be in Scorpio.
Oh, there is another water sign. That's what I said.
So more water. Water, water everywhere, you know.
And not a drop to drink.
And, of course, that means the moon will be aligned with Saturn, which is about stepping into emotional responsibility.
Right. So I think that we can sum it up this way, especially for the water signs. There's a change coming. The change can be positive. You're going to have to let go of something, especially if we're talking about their work. And you are going to have to make some changes and adjustments. But once you go ahead with it, you'll have the wherewithal and know-how to be extremely successful. And that can be scary for people because what happens is it's what I don't know. It's the unknown.
We're all going to take a risk on getting exactly what we want.
And that means you could leave one job for another job, and then you have to make it work out. Right, Mark?
I'm already seeing a lot of people, not just jobs, but I'm also seeing people relocating. You know, with the relocation astrology, I do.
My friend did that.
I have really seen a spike in the number of consultations I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And when I see that, that means that the people are going to be moving.
And that's been helpful for them because you can put them in the right place to receive the energy.
Absolutely. And but it more than anything, it tells me people are restless, that something's got to give, and that they're getting ready to make those steps.
Well, you know, we are on a new 28,000-year cycle, but we're I think there were six cycles that came to an end in December. So we have to expect to be pulled along on a new road. And that is hard for people.
And it's kind of like at a new moon. You know, the new moon is dark. You can't see where you're going, but you know you're going.
Well, I think that we're going to have more births, more children's births.
Oh, that would be interesting with you know, Jupiter moving into Cancer, which
right. I think there'll be more babies that we haven't had. You know, we've had to cut back on schools. I think that's all going to change now, and I don't know what's going to create that. But I am feeling more births, more positive house sales, more settling. Cancers don't like to move. They are hoarders, are they not?
They are, but they're going to have to look at what are the things I'm holding on to that are actually nurturing me, and what are the things that are holding me down.
Uh-huh.
You know, Cancers are great caretakers, but they forget to take care of themselves. They put everybody else first.
Right.
Or they'll hold on to something for sentimental reasons, and uh-huh. then they'll have a clutter closet. And this is saying, you know what, if you want new stuff, you have to make room and get rid of some of the old stuff.
I just want to say to the people out there that this is Mark Dodich, and we're on Let's Find Out. I'm Elizabeth Joyce. And Mark is so good at his astrology readings. He's extremely thorough. He records it for you, and he really can give you timing on what's happening. That's what astrology does, Mark, does it not? It gives us timing.
I think that's the best thing that astrologies offer as compared to, you know, the psychic type readings is when is this shifting? When is all this going on? When are things moving into more favorable things for relationship or retreating to your spiritual monk place or career, etc.?
Right. And it's so exciting when these energies come because water also represents the ocean, and the ocean keeps coming no matter what, but the ocean creates change, and it creates beach changes and area changes slowly. So our life is going to begin to change. It's going to have some emotional release connected to it, but it's also going to bring us wonderful new washing over, a wonderful new, almost like a new baptism. You could put it that way, Mark.
Yeah, and I would tell people to be comfortable with what I'm going to call hurry up and wait, because there's going to be some things that happen overnight, and then you got to wait for the next thing to come.
Yeah,
and
that could be politically.
Politically and personally. It's like mm-hmm. one day you're rushed to get it all happening, and next day you're sitting waiting.
Or maybe taking a nap from overexerting yourself.
Now, that's the Pisces piece, absolutely.
So what do you see now? We talked about the Pisces planets. Now what happens when they're all in Aries besides hurry up and take your time? Is there something else that would be associated with that?
Well, the higher vibration of Aries is associated with communicating right action. And that's looking around you and seeing the things in the world that aren't working, and not in an arrogant way, but in a way that says, you know what, there's got to be a better way to live our life on this planet, a better way to do things than, and that's not to judge where things are at. It's just when you've moved into a new paradigm and a new shift in consciousness, you have to be willing to do things a new way, and the old way just doesn't always work anymore. And, well, it'll be interesting to watch the Catholic Church with who they elect to be the new pope as to, do they elect somebody who is open to new ways to, deal with Islam countries, for example?
My prediction for the new pope, I think he's going to be the man from Brazil, is that there is going to be so much change in the Catholic Church over the next 3 to 6 years. It's going to be amazing. And this man is going to be very open, and it's going to throw them back a little bit, because a lot of the old tried and true traditions are going to be thrown out the window, and people will be shocked to look at the church 6 years from now.
Well, it'll be interesting to watch, because I'm thinking differently than you. I'm thinking they're going to go with the, the popular old school guy from Italy. But that represents, we've been talking in the past about Uranus square Pluto, the old school versus the new. Mm-hmm. And so we'll have to watch and see how that plays out.
We will, because I heard in my ear, and I'm usually right, it will not be in Italian. That's what I heard. That's interesting, isn't it?
It is. Well,
I love it. I love it when that happens.
It'll be interesting to watch because, Mercury is retrograde until St. Patrick's Day, and here they are, moving into conclave now, when the planet of communications is going backwards.
Well, the rule is if they get somebody in with Mercury retrograde, he won't stay in, or it'll be a short term. Because when Mercury retrogrades again, which is at the end of June, there will be a problem. Well, that's natural law.
We'll watch and see, because I know at the last pope they had the problem of communications where the smoke that was supposed to come out white came out not so white.
Well, there you go.
And that's a communications problem from a smokestack.
Yeah, but he's also out of there. He resigned for the first time in 600 years. That's a Mercury retrograde.
That's pretty amazing, yes.
Yeah, and of course, I also heard in my ear just a little tidbit for the others that Kate was going to have a girl. Princess Kate is going to have a girl, and now she said that she's having a daughter. So that's exciting. I knew that in November.
Yeah, I think she had a little slip of the tongue the other day, is what I saw on Good Morning America. But
well, when I heard that, I said, "Well, I knew that."
Yeah,
that was in
my
predictions, too, at the beginning of the year. So it's fun to kind of have a little bit of knowledge beforehand. I always trust it when I get those little whisperings in my ear, because they seem to pan out, as you know.
Well, and that fits with this divine feminine coming in through all these water signs. So it seems appropriate that it's a feminine energy coming in.
It does. I think that's what everybody needs, a little softening of the heart. Well, Mark, we're at the end of our show, and it's been wonderful having you on.
Thank you.
It went so fast. The time went so fast. My goodness. We will have you on again in June, and I'll get the date out to the people through the newsletters. And thank you very much. Is there anything that you, any message that you have us for the wearing of the green or this week?
Just the main thing is with Mercury slowing down to be flexible and adaptable. And if they would like to see the more details on what's coming up for spring equinox, they can download my quarterly newsletter off of the website, which is www.astromark.us.
A-S-T-R-O-M-A-R-K.
503-252-1558.
Okay, say your website one more time for us.
Astromark.us.
Thank you. And I'm Elizabeth Joyce. My website is www.new-visions.com. And we'll see you all next time. Thanks for listening.
This is Elizabeth Joyce from Let's Find Out. And now it's time to begin the meditation. The background music is Meeting with the Animals by Richard Shulman. Sit with both feet flat on the floor. Allow yourself to get very quiet. We're going to listen to Native American prayers. Earth, Teach Me to Remember by John Yellowlark. Earth, teach me stillness as the grasses are stilled with light. Earth, teach me suffering as the stones suffer with memory. Earth, teach me humility as the blossoms are humbled with beginning. Earth, teach me caring as the mother who secures her young. Earth, teach me courage as the tree which stands alone. Earth, teach me limitation as the ant which crawls on the ground. Earth, teach me freedom as the eagle who soars in the sky. Earth, teach me resignation as the leaves which die in the fall. Earth, teach me regeneration as the seeds which rise in the spring. Earth, teach me to forget myself as the melted snow forgets its life. Earth, teach me to remember kindness as the dry fields weep in the rain. Cherokee prayer blessing. May the warm winds of heaven blow slowly upon your house. May the Great Spirit bless all who enter there. May your moccasins make happy tracks in many snows, and may the rainbow always touch your shoulder. Prayer for the common man. Stand tall like the trees. Live strong like the mountains. Be gentle like a spring breeze. Keep your heart warm like a summer day. In this way, the Great Spirit will always be at your side. And now meditate on the earth, and on the earthquakes, and on the earth changes, and on the earth destruction that we've recently experienced. Meditate on the earth, and bless her, and send her the white light of healing. Pray that the earth is centered and perfect while supporting us and all of life as we know it. Send your prayers out for world peace and ask Mother Nature to open her heart as we enter the new era of 2012. Lokaha Semistaha Sukhinu Pavandu. We pray for peace. Lokaha Semistaha Sukhinu Pavandu. Take a deep breath, fill yourself with the white light of the Holy God, and know that you are the center of your life and that you honor and respect while walking our planet Earth.